be pleasing and acceptable to you. Amen. Would you please be seated? So, many years ago, when I was on a selection conference for those who were discerning or going through the discernment process of whether or not they should be ordained, Lorraine knows what I'm speaking about, there was a group of us on that conference, and one of the people there was talking one evening about his life story. He'd worked in the City of London for a number of years, commuting in and out, and had decided when he got to a certain stage he was going to have a totally different change of lifestyle. And he'd moved up to Northumbria and he'd become a shepherd. And he'd learnt how to look after sheep. And he said, as he'd done this and he'd learnt so much about sheep, he'd reflected on the Bible stories and on British customs or Western European customs of looking after sheep. And he'd come to some conclusions. And he said this, or words very similar to this. Sheep often behave exactly as their stereotype suggests. They follow one another, unthinking, into the most terrible scrapes. They fall over. They get stuck in hedges or push their way through the hedges and wander into the road. They are, from my observation at least, foolish, a bit grubby and rather vulnerable. When the Bible or hymns suggest that sheep need protection, a former townie like myself might assume that they need protection from predators or thieves. My conclusion, from the time I have spent watching them, is that sheep need protection most of all from themselves. For sheep have discovered 999 ways of getting into trouble. And when you watch them, you suspect they are fully concentrating on finding that 1,000th way. Well, the biblical images of shepherds paint them as people of wisdom, care, comfort, reliability, fortitude, sacrifice, and protection. You can go way back to the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. The shepherd protects the flock, carries the sheep and the lambs, feeds and waters them, gathers them into the fold and fends off anything and anyone that would harm them. In a well-known gospel parable, it's the shepherd who searches for the single lost sheep, leaving the other 99 that they may find it, who lays it across their shoulders and carries it home. Jesus tells that parable, relying on his hearers to know that this is just how any good shepherd would behave. The image of Christ as the good shepherd is one to ponder, to meditate on, to sing about. Most of us, I'm sure, reflecting on the recent or distant past, will recognize a sense of God's gentle presence when we have known difficult circumstances and we've maybe found healing or soothing. We may have felt guided or protected even in the most difficult times. And even when we've felt alone and abandoned, we may have been drawn to that sense that there is one who is looking for us and will find us. Even when it's not simple circumstances, but let's face it, our own fault. When we've wandered off or got stuck or in a tricky situation, God is always there to guide us back to the right path. For it is not possible for you or I or anyone to stray so far from God that they go beyond God's vision or God's compassion, and God will search them out. And Jesus goes on to present himself also as the gate, the one who both liberates the sheep to find fresh pasture, but also encloses and protects them. So the gospel presents us with a challenge, especially when we set it alongside the other readings. We might reflect on how we've been vulnerable, lost or foolish from time to time in life. How Christ has called us to himself and keeps on calling us, both individually, as this community of Christians, and as part of the greater church that Christ established. But we should also acknowledge those times when we have called to be shepherds rather than sheep. For if Christ is the pattern of our life, then surely, as he is the good shepherd, we ought to strive to be shepherds too. And we can be shepherds, caring for one another. This means deliberately having a care for those in real danger in our world, having compassion on people who are fearful about life for whatever reason, being kind to all in need as best as we are able. Even if that compassion is hard to generate, we can act and let God grow the compassion in us. We might also serve as gates, called to offer the salvation, the hope, the liberation of Christ to others. Our words and our deeds can give others a sense of being led to find pasture, something that is good, something that will nourish them deep down inside, nourish their spirit, bring them towards that abundant life that the gospel speak of. Whatever the faults of the church, of Christianity in general, we believe at heart we have a message of good news, and we are called to be the sharers of it. We might do that as encouragers, the openers of eyes, of hearts and minds, as well as protectors and people who offer warmth, welcome and safety. Whatever our particular calling, whatever our particular role, we do this because we believe that God in Christ cares for us, for you, for me, for those who are like us and for those we disagree with, for those inside the family of God's church and those outside of it. We believe that God in Christ is our salvation, our liberation, our life in abundance. We might also acknowledge those people who practically and literally have guided us, cared for us, encouraged us, nourished our souls, healed us and protected us. People who have, like shepherds, looked out for us. We've been cared for. We are cared for. And so in turn, we care. We are Christ's sheep, but we are also Christ's shepherds, called to care for those who are vulnerable, to offer guidance, that ultimately all may dwell safely in his fold. Amen.